In the flesh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the flesh.
Oh, yeah. We here.
No split screen today.
Switched it up a little bit, man. We had to.
Yeah. You ain't switch up with that Sox jersey, though.
Hey, chill out. You ain't switch up with that weak Astros jersey.
Where you at?
I'm in Texas.
I thought you was going to get off the plane with the cowboy hat. Nah, on.
Listen, man. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to hold it down. Y'all know it. I don't know what this guy got going.
You know,
we got a championship too.
See the difference is with this gold is you get you one of these when you win a chip.
Y'all see, cheated.
You don't know about the gold.
Y'all cheated.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say.
No, that's facts.
But that ain't the case.
They cheated.
That ain't the case.
Man, we ain't here for all that either. I'm just saying they cheated.
As I told you before, you know the sign. You know what's coming. You still got to hit the ball.
That's facts. Still cheated. But yeah, man, we here. You know, switched it up a little bit, as promised. You know, able to get in the same room and mix it up a little bit. So, you know, all you Redemption Podcast, we back, ready to do this thing. And we got a pretty good topic today for everybody. It's a mixture of some of the things that we kind of skimmed on before, but really honing in on a another level of it. So I think it's going to be a good one, bro.
Yeah, for sure. As always.
Right.
You know.
So.
We're going to get into the IOU moment.
Definitely.
First and foremost. So I'll go with mine first.
What you got for him?
My IOU moment is this. Even the right decision is the wrong decision if it is made too late.
Even the right decision is the wrong decision if it's made too late. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so basically what I'm saying is that sometimes you have the right decision in your mind to do something, but you think about it and think about it, or you don't act on it, and then at a point in time it comes where you finally want to go through with that decision. And although initially it was the right decision, now it's wrong. It's bad timing. Right?
Yeah.
I can give you countless examples about that, but you look at your situation now, whatever it is that you thinking about you should do or shouldn't do, it's probably the right decision. And if you linger on it, it's going to turn into the wrong decision.
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
And you know, you know right from wrong. So if it feel like you need to address something now, change something now, do something now, say something now, do it now. Don't, you know, there's no better time than the present.
Yeah.
So, you know, making that right decision, like you said, 2 months from now, 2 weeks from now. Well, that's too late. That's 2 weeks, 2 months, two minutes.
Yeah.
2 days too late. You know what I'm saying? So that's facts, man. That's facts. So I went to my archive a little bit on this one. I got a quote because I told you we'd be pulling these from all type of places, either from my head, we could pull them from the Bible, we could pull them from, you know, legends. And this one's from the late, great Duke Ellington. It says, life has two rules. Number one, never quit. And rule number two, don't forget rule number one.
Yeah, Meek Mill said that too, by the way. I like Meek Mill.
I think Meek Mill might have got that from somebody else, and somebody else might have got that from Duke Ellington.
I mean, he said a different light, but it's still, don't forget rule number one.
Facts.
Never quit.
Facts. And the thing is this, you know, in times in life, yes, life gets hard. We go through things. We face adversity. Stuff don't go our ways. At times, we don't know ourselves. At times, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what you want to be, you know, all those type of things. Thing is, I don't look at the mistakes that, you know, like bad situations as like failure. You know what I mean? But like quitting, I think that's when you lose. I think that's like a failing point right there when you quit. You know what I mean? Now, as long as you continue to try, strive, and you make an effort to change and learning from those situations, because, you know, a bad situation could teach you a whole lot.
Yeah,
actually be a blessing, could turn into a blessing for you. So I don't even look at that all the way like a bad thing, especially if I learn from it. But to quit, You know what I'm saying? And so many people quit right when they're about to get that breakthrough.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that before. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'll tell you, like, when I personally, when I feel like a lot of bad things are happening to me, or I feel like maybe things aren't going my way, I feel like it's you know, I'm going through that stormy season in my life, I'm like, man, I already know God finna prepare me for something.
Yeah.
Got to be preparing me for something, because when it started going bad, like bam, 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 I'd be like, bro, I got to be getting prepared for something. So yeah. Just tell people, stay in there, man, hang in there. Don't quit. Quitting shouldn't even be an option. You know, take your bumps, take your lumps,
yeah.
Learn from them, take the lesson in that, and turn that into something positive. So, you know, when I seen this by Duke Ellington, you know, I can relate to that, because I don't use that quitter's mentality. And nothing that I do, and I mean, it's been successful for me. Like I said, the highs and the lows, I still learn from some of the worst situations I've been in. I've learned, and I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I learned from it and kept it moving. So, you know, that's my IOU this week for the people.
Yeah, I think a couple of your IOU moments was about never giving up. I think that's probably stemming from, I mean, you think you had it in you from the beginning, but I think it really hits you more because of your accident.
Yeah.
And that's probably pushing you more and more and more, because in that accident and trying to recover after that, you couldn't quit.
Nah.
So it's life or death at that point. So
for sure, man. It's definitely like that. It was always my natural spirit, but then, like you say, it's times two, times three, times four.
It's amplified, yeah.
It's amplified now. When you go through certain things and you had to wheel yourself out of it, you know what I'm saying? You got a physical aspect of recovering from things and going through things.
Yeah.
Okay, the other side is mental. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I always tell people, you know, and I try to tell myself, keep my mental straight. If my mental straight, there's nothing I can't do. If I'm, you know what I mean, in a good space mentally, there's nothing I can't do, because, you know, I was against a lot of odds a lot of times in my life, including that accident. And could have gave up, could have been a longer road, could have been not as recovered the way that I am now, not to be as strong as I am now from, you know, different things that I went through with it. But, you know, with the right mindset and that I'm not going to quit attitude, and that grit, that grind, that dog that's in me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just channeled it another way, and it was heightened, because now you got people that depend on you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, most definitely. So I tell everybody, keep going, man. Keep going and keep your mind tight. You could do, you know, the body gonna follow the mind. I'm always say that the body gonna follow the mind. If you keep your mind straight, you'd be surprised what you can overcome. Your body can overcome, what you can take, what you can endure. And I'm sure people that are soldiers out there, like military vets, Marines and stuff, they'll tell you too, there is a physical aspect to everything difficult. But the mental aspect of it is, to me, it holds more weight. You could be big and strong and weak-minded. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can be able to bench press 400 pounds and still have a weak mind. You can, you know what I'm saying? You could be in the best actual physical shape and still have a weak mind and still not be able to perform or overcome some things. But if your mind is where it's supposed to be, and you locked in, and you understand your why, and your purpose to live, and what that is, and what you're driving for, man, you can move mountains. So, you know, that's
facts. IOU moments.
For sure.
For you right there. We're going to get started.
Let's get it.
Yes, sir. EP8.
Yes.
We said, so EP8 ain't dropped. The usual time frame is supposed to drop.
Man, we had to get this thing going, bro. We had to switch it up for people.
Yeah.
You know, they seen us on the split screen, and you're going to see that from time to time. But we get that, we can make it happen. We're going to get in the same room, and we can make it happen. So, you know, I think that it was worth the wait. I think it was worth the switch up for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. EP 8, episode 8, power circle, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell them a little bit about this.
So when I think about, you know, we talk about our circles. We've talked about evaluating circles. This is a few things that I think of, and we're going to dissect it a little bit as far as, you know, we're going to really dive into it as far as what I consider my power circle and what I like to have. And not just myself, I've seen it work for a lot of others. When we talk about people that want to take their lives, their situations to the next level, who want to achieve more than the status quo, who want to do more with themselves, who want to, you know, reach their fullest potential. And I mean, the first thing that I would think of is the power of mentorship. Mentorship to me is very important. Mentorship is usually when one individual or some individuals act as like the advisor to someone with less experience, right? So mentorship to me is very important in the sense of it can help. Now, you can keep going down the line and line, but a few things that personally has helped me for is, you know, mentorship can help the accountability piece in your life or your career. Because when you talk to your mentor, you know, you're laying out who you are, what you're trying to do. We're talking about goals and how we're going to attain them and things of that nature. That's all a part of accountability, because once that person accepts that role to be your mentor, they're going to hold you accountable in those follow-up conversations that you have. So, hey, you said you wanted to do this. You know, you tell your mentor you want to do that. Next time they talk, they're going to bring that back up. And where we at with that? What did you go? They're going to give you little assignments, little homework to go do. Okay, try this out. Try that out. You know, that's that accountability piece. You know, most mentors, you look at like a source of knowledge, more of a like maybe you can have different mentors. You can have several mentors in your life, depending on the areas of focus that you want to have. You could have somebody that's a mentor for you for your career. You could have somebody that's a mentor for your finances.
Yeah.
You can have somebody that's a mentor for your marriage. So different avenues you can have somebody be mentors. But I'm just saying, let's just talk about like overall, you know, the knowledge, the subject matter expert, whatever that is. And again, every time the mentee is talking to the mentor, because that's what you would be, it's very powerful. At times, you know, we figure like we could do this stuff by ourselves. Like, I'm a smart guy, I could do this by myself. You know, you may talk to your friend or whatever else. It's okay to reach outside of your normal circle and bring somebody in that's where you're trying, on a level that you're trying to get to. They may not look like you. They may not be from some of the same background yet, but they have something you're trying to obtain. So, you know, that's some of the things that I think of. They support your growth as well. They support you. Mentors. I've had mentors support me. Champion for me. They'll champion for you in rooms and help build your network. They'll champion for you in rooms that you're not in. They'll help get maybe shed some of the light on some of those small victories that you're having and strides that you're making. That without a mentor, you may have didn't have that. Maybe you didn't know that should even be celebrated. Yeah. Maybe you know what I mean? Because sometimes we just put our heads down and go to work, and we don't know every now and again it's okay to pat yourself on the back. And then we're going to get back to work, but it's okay to be like, okay, that was a good job, and to know that was a good job. I'm going to dig even deeper. It's okay. A mentor will help you know what the true definition of a good job is. Because some people think that they're doing good jobs, and they don't really know what a definition of a really good job is. That sounds crazy, but it's true. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the definition of really doing a good job? Did you do it?
Mentor will let you know if you did a good job or not. Ain't this an unbiased person?
Yes, it's an unbiased person. It's not going to be your best friend. It can be, but I'm saying
nah.
It's probably, you're probably right with the
not your best friend,
because they're not going to be as
It's not even exactly. They're not going to be unbiased. And just to let you know, biased and unbiased. If you're unbiased, you're not influenced by the relationship you have with this person. You're going to tell them what was right, and you're going to tell them what's wrong, regardless of the situation.
Facts.
So, yeah, it can't be your best friend.
No, but that's pretty much what I had on mentorship. And that's me personally, like I said, and before I let you have it, this is something that you can take in your life, whether it's your career, whether it's something you're trying to improve, something you want to be better at, like I said before, whatever aspect of your life, you can find a mentor or a subject matter expert there. And just because you're seeking mentorship does not, you know, minimize your knowledge either. Because some people look at that kind of punitive.
I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm going to let you get into it. So just remember that, but go ahead.
Oh, it's, I have to turn my head. You know what I'm saying? This is the thing about it, is that people like, especially where we from, anybody relate like us, they think mentor, I don't need no mentor.
Right.
Like, it's almost they associated with being like going to a counselor. You know how that conversation go.
Yeah.
But it's like a mentor. The mindset going into finding a mentor should be, I want to get to this level that this person is at, or some type of success that this person has touched. This person can help me, mold me, and shape me in the way to get there.
Yeah.
So I give you an example. And I think I might have told this before, but I'm going to reiterate it here. When I worked for the city of Austin, there was this African-American C-suite executive. And I went, this is the one who told me to read Malcolm X.
Okay.
He told me to read Malcolm X. He told me to read a couple other books, and he told me to do that because the situation I was going through and how I was responding to it, he thought I was rough. He said it was a better way to do it. So that's why he told me to read those. But I would walk into his office and he would look at me and he'd say like, why you got that bright shirt on? Because when I used to dress up, like, you know, you dress, if you look at the presidents, they're always dressed in neutral type colors. And black people like us, we'll wear the loudest shirt, loudest pant, like whatever.
Lime green.
Yeah, and that don't work. That don't work in like business world.
No, it don't.
So I remember I went in there with like a turquoise shirt on or something like that. He's like, why you got that loud shirt on? Take it off. And if you look at Malcolm X, like the movie, like they call those clown suits, even in American Gangster.
Yeah.
They call them clown suits.
Yeah.
So basically, this is what I'm saying by a mentor, is that this person, he sees where I'm trying to go. He sees what I'm trying to do. But since he's already at the mountaintop, he's going to be like, this is what you need to change.
Right.
I need you to change this. I need you to change that.
Right.
And he's not talking about you talking down on you. He like, look, dude, if you want to get to this level and see what and get some respect, you got to change this.
But you got to be coachable, too.
You got to be coachable. That's the thing.
You got to be coachable.
So I remember when he was telling me this stuff, and my initial reaction was like, who are you talking? Like, in my head's like, who are you talking to? You mean what I got on?
Right.
Like,
right.
But then I just had to take it. He was, it's almost like your dad or somebody, like, and I had to sit there and take it. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to somebody like checking me like that, like, just. And that's what I mean by constructive criticism. There's a difference between like criticism and constructive. Like, I know this person is telling me this because he's like prepping me for this next level that I gotta see.
He helping you learn how to move in them rooms. Yeah, exactly.
And even at this here, so that's a level where you have a mentor that I'm a mentee at a lower level and there's a mentor at a higher level, right? So there's other situations where, like, Yo Gotti and 50 Cent. Yo Gotti gave an interview about this. He said 50 Cent told him about CMG, the label, right? It's called Cocaine Music Group.
Yeah.
Most people don't know this, but it is no longer called Cocaine Music Group.
No, they did switch that up.
They switched to Collective Music Group. And 50 Cent told Yo Gotti, he said, you know, if you want to take your brand to the next level and be able to facilitate business meetings with these business professionals,
you can't come
with Cocaine Music Group.
Now that I think about it, all of Yo Gotti's earlier songs, he'd be like, just that Cocaine Music,
he don't
homie,
do that
don't
no
confuse
more.
It. And
he just say CMG, or they got the big C.
You're right. I haven't heard Cocaine
now,
Music in a while.
Yes, he gave Jay Z and them.
Dang, you're right.
They telling him. So they had both left, like, I'm saying it as in, like, the fame and things like that, like, they're on that level. But obviously, there's a gap between Jay-Z's money and
yeah,
money.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
What I'm saying
still
is they're at that same level. but they're still coaching each other. And that's what I mean by you can get a mentor from somebody that's directly across from you, or for somebody that's at a higher level, but you got to be willing to accept it.
But look what we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody that's already a millionaire.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Already
yeah.
a millionaire. Yeah. So by many standards, they're already successful.
Yeah.
And they're still opening themselves up and seeking mentorship from the billionaire.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can already
took that from 50 Cent, actually. And I mean, he's taking it from Jay-Z.
I
too,
really want
like,
to see
yeah.
what 50 Cent's net worth is, because he can't be too far off.
No.
He can't be too far off. 50. So what I'm saying is, by standards, so where all these guys come from, and where most of us come from, already when you become a millionaire, you can stop and be like, I'm successful.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to
right,
nobody.
Right.
When
he was yelling
nothing.
Cocaine music and everything else, when your guy was yelling that, he was already successful.
Yep.
He was already a millionaire. But guess what? He know if he want to get into them billions, and if he want to grow his brand and want to be marketable, get on some of those radio stations, get some of them endorsement deals, get invited in some of them rooms to where, you know what I'm saying?
Can't come in talking about cocaine
no,
music
sir.
Group.
Collective Music Group sounds a whole lot
better.
It sounds a whole lot better.
And he had to be able to take that instead of like looking at 50 like, man, who you think you're talking to? Like, he had to be receptive
Absolutely.
And be like, yeah, I understand, okay.
That's a damn good example.
Like,
That's a damn good example. Yeah,
this man had already signed artists. He don't really need to take that. Like, he didn't have to.
Right.
But he mature enough to be like, man, you're right. Like, and you ain't got to change your whole MO. They still doing the same thing and like rapping about, but they just on presentation. We're Collective Music Group.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
That sound a whole lot better. So, I mean, mentorship is powerful on all levels. Like we said, whether it's corporate America, whether it's whatever it is in your life, you can seek it. And that was a great example, prime example on already someone that's very successful seeking mentorships. And that ain't the only people that did that. I mean, even Meek Mill done partnered with Jay-Z. And
Meek
and,
Mill,
and,
yeah.
And he's and even Meek Mill learning from Rick Ross and Rick Ross and partnering with people and DJ Khaled them, you know what I mean? If we're breaking it down to just music, it's you notice some of those same.
They got real mentorships and mentee programs.
Yes.
Unspoken.
Yes. Yes. And you notice the change being people.
Yes.
You notice how they may market themselves different. Maybe some of the stuff that they rap about. Maybe they take the guns out the videos.
Yes.
Maybe all that other stuff.
Yes.
So, you know.
There's somebody helping them, man.
Yeah. So
this is why I think, and I gotta bring this up because I like Gibbs. I like Gibbs, but I think
Freddie
that
Gibbs
just, he just raw. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just 219, like, he just raw. And when he got with Jeezy, I don't know the situation, so I can't comment on it. But what I'm saying is that, and I think the situation that Gibbs go through right now is just like, man, he don't want to stop doing the stuff that got him there. That's his style. But, like, I think that it's got to be somebody that come mentor Gibbs that understand, just like he, like 50 did Gotti, like, I don't want to change who you are, but let's change something on the front to allow you to be more receptive or accepting to these crowds in these different venues. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that, it kills me all the time. Like, I can see, you know, when Gibbs rapping and what he rap about is essentially the same stuff that, like, all the others rapping about. 30s and 40s, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's just Gibbs all the way. That's his music MO, is just all the way like that.
Yeah.
Right. So I just think that, again, the mentor behind like ESTG and them is Gotti, and his mentor is the other Jay-Z and them.
Yeah,
they telling them.
Yeah,
Gibbs really ain't really got that.
So the thing is, and I've seen this on a number of cases. And again, I don't know that situation either 100%, but there's times where I've seen situation, I can't think of the artist right now, and they was in a good situation and it just didn't work out because that person wasn't ready at the time. Matter of fact, it was Derez Deshawn, dude that made Hardaway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He was talking about, you know, just him doing dealings with Baby now and Birdman and them and whatever else. And he was telling him, like, he was saying, like, in an interview, he just mentally wasn't ready then. You understand what I'm saying? Like, the opportunity was right there, but he wasn't right.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that could have been a situation. But the thing is, man, like, you know, I also see Gibbs now doing a lot with Kanye.
Yeah, he a different, I think he in a different mind state though. I think he really end up talking to somebody that is allowing him to be able to do that.
Yeah, because I think it's crazy as people, you know, like to perceive Kanye to be. He's different.
No, so Kanye, man.
He's different, and it takes
a genius.
But I think that if you actually sit down and talk to him.
Kanye a genius.
I think if you, the conversation that people probably have with him is completely different than what you think you would have with him.
Man, listen, that's one of the people I want to meet, Kanye, because I be telling people, like, y'all think the man crazy, but like, man, that dude a genius.
I can talk about music all day, bro. And you know Dame Dash them used to be, like, talking crazy to him? Like, he was, like, a little errand boy, like, making their beats and stuff. They didn't think he was going to be the one that blows.
No, I watched Genius on Netflix.
They didn't think he was going to be the one to blow. They used to be trying to, try to sun him. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
but that's a whole nother thing. But that's just that type of mentorship. And I see it. I'm a music head, so I definitely see what you're saying as far as on that level. But
it was mentorship, dog. We kind of did mentorship and mentee.
Right, so let's go into the next level of it.
Mentee.
So here's what I would say.
Hold on. Because in this mentee portion, we need to tell the mentee how to find a mentor. So
I'm going to go first on that and then let you hit with that. Here's the thing when I think about the mentee and the importance of a mentee. So we're talking again about a power circle. I said in the power circle, what? Number one, we should have it should be mentorship in it. I feel like number two, if you in that position, you should have a mentee. Because again, I'm all about being unselfish, sharing knowledge.
You're gonna have to say it again because I understand what you're saying, but
what I mean by that is somebody who are you bringing along, right? So for those out there that have figured themselves to be somewhat qualified, somewhat successful, have done some things, apply some things, and they're working for you, right? I'm talking about the people that's got some things going right now, got a couple things going for yourself. Okay, cool. Who are you bringing along with you?
Yeah, let me break it down some more.
Go ahead.
So in simplest terms, so I'm gonna give you two examples. One is cheesy, the other one you'll get because I'm lining you up. The first one, when you go to McDonald's, I don't know if this happened to y'all before, but it's happened to me a lot. I don't go to McDonald's anymore, but when I like, I go for the kids or Starbucks, something like that. If I go, somebody in the front paid the bill for me.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? They paid for my order.
Yep, that happened to me.
Okay. So when you go up to the door, up to the window to get your food, lady's like, oh, the car before you paid.
Yep.
You don't just drive off. I hope you don't.
No.
Don't just drive off. Say, I got the person behind me.
Yep.
And it just keeps going. That's paying it forward. So what I'm saying is, in another way, if I give you some knowledge, okay, I don't want you to just take the knowledge, seal it up, and run with it and never share it with nobody. The way you pay it back is you get the knowledge. Now you are in this situation. You are the mentee, and I'm the mentor. I gave you the knowledge. Now you turn around, flip it. You got that knowledge. Now you're the mentor and you go find you a mentee.
Yeah. 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 So that's dissecting it like that. But spreading that knowledge. Like I said, who are you bringing along? Who are you talking to? Who are you helping? Who are you coaching? You know what I mean? Because, you know, I love the times we're able to talk to some of our peers or maybe little cousins or somebody and share something with them, share that knowledge. Yeah. There's no, you can be a successful, and a lot of people hoard information because they think selfishly and they're scared for somebody else to get theirs because in some weird way, consciously or unconsciously, they feel like it's not enough success out here for both of us. Yeah. They feel like it's not enough. Well, if you get 10 million, I can't get 10 million. Like it's people, like I said, some people do it consciously. They know exactly what they're doing. Some people do it subconsciously. They don't even notice that they're doing it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I hear a lot of people, when I hear people talking about the things that they've done and, you know, and don't get me wrong. I love to hear about the great things that people are doing. And I love to hear people able to articulate themselves and talk about what they've done, but I'll throw a monkey wrench. So if you talk to me for, you know, an hour about the things that you're doing and we're not talking about, you know, who you've mentored, especially an old head or somebody that's like, been in the game 5-10 years or something like that. I've been flipping houses, man, for 10 years or man, 5 years I've been, and you never ever talk about who's coming up next. Then I got my nephew in that. I got my son in that. I got my neighbor in that. I got my godson in that. I got, you know, like, who else you helping? Because also, as far as that's your team and your network, you really just strengthening your network and your team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what a lot of people don't understand. So you got the power of the circle in the mentorship. And you also got power in being a having a mentee. And there's also power in being the mentee. Being a grasshopper, like my dad, my dad always liked to call us grasshoppers. You know what I mean? I'm a hell of a teacher, but I'm also a hell of a student too.
Yeah.
If somebody got some game or something, bro, that I want to soak up, I know how to close my mouth and open my ears, and I know I can't do both at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So, and a lot of people don't have that type of trait or don't hone into that. Because they think that they're minimizing themselves. They think that calling you smart is saying that I'm dumb. No, because you may be super smart at one thing and I'm super smart at the other. We're both intelligent. Yin and yang, strengths and weaknesses. You understand what I'm saying? But if we share it, guess what? My weakness won't be as weak because you've helped and strengthened that because I've leaned on you, and yours won't be as weak because you've leaned on me and we helped each other unselfishly.
Yeah.
So we become better. So when we come together, it'd be like, dang, y'all a heck of a team. Man, y'all are powerful. Y'all know a little bit about this, know a little bit about that. And I encourage everybody that like that. So, you know, I feel like this is big for the power circle, man. And then, you know, the third thing that I would say as far as in the power circle is.
Shed the dead weight.
You want to tackle it first? Or you want me to hit it?
Yeah, I'm gonna just hit on just one thing I wanted that came to my mind is that the reason why we're saying this is so important because as you try to reach higher levels in your career, in life, you know, you reap what you sow. And you're only going to get so far in life based on what you help other people with. So if you want to get, if you're struggling with getting to the next level with like a program you're in, a job you're in, getting into a program, you probably need to do more servant work.
Yeah.
Because the blessings come when you provide others with help. So if you ain't got nobody under your wing that you helping, that's probably why you lacking. You doing everything right except the one thing that you just neglecting because you feel like you don't need to do it, and that's help people. And it's not by money. It's by talking to them, getting people through certain things. You might be able to put somebody on the path of success of just making the right decisions for things. So if you always, it's like you said, if you always trying to say, what I can do, what I need to do, and not what can I do for you, what have I done for this person? Like, you're not gonna get nowhere. And I think that's what people lack.
Yeah. And I think about it, you know, before we get into the dead weight, I just think about it personally. We were doing it, we didn't know we were doing it. We were already doing it. This has kind of already been in our spirits, but we have to learn how to articulate it and really target what we've already naturally been doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about our friends, families, peers, like all of them that we've talked to, coached, helped.
Yeah.
And this is all while we're still trying to figure out our own lives. We're still trying to figure that out.
You don't just be like, okay, I've done my portion. I've completed the task of my life. Now let me go help somebody else. No, it doesn't work like that in the real world. Nah. You got in between at the same time, simultaneously.
Yes.
You have to do everything. You never know when somebody gonna need help. You got to reach out. Sometimes, and that's another thing. Sometimes you have to reach out to certain people and be like, how you doing? How did you do with this? You need help with that. Nobody ever does that.
No.
Nobody ever does it. And this is the reason why a lot of people, when they do make it somewhere, they don't care about all it. And this is why some people say you forgot where you came from. Because, yeah, I kind of did, because when I was struggling to get where I need to be, y'all didn't help me. Y'all didn't check on me. So now I'm here. I don't want nothing to do with y'all.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But don't nobody, everybody just want to say you forgot where you came from because this is a nice word to say, like it's something like
It's one of those things that people say when you make people uncomfortable.
That's what I'm saying.
And you grow to a level that they don't understand.
When I was out there grinding and you don't understand what I went through to get here, y'all didn't check on me.
No. That's crazy, man. Hey,
that's kind of going into shedding dead weight.
It is. When you talk about checking on you, man,
Why do check on you?
I probably, I have a few people in my life that check on me consistently. And some people, I would tell you that I value that. And I don't got to list them all out because, I mean, to be honest with you, there's some people that if I did, that you would think I would name that I wouldn't name. Because I'm one of those people that, I may not call you for money. I may not call you for these huge favors and all this other stuff. But them texts every now and again and them calls every now and again, just like, man, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what you up to? Or, man, you've been quiet. You know what I'm saying? That means the world to me because I try to get up every day and make everybody around me day. I try to make everybody smile. I try to remove all the stress and whatever from everybody else. So every now and again, if somebody asking me how I'm doing, man, that really, that feel good. Like you say, checking on somebody because somebody may sit back and say, man, you got a family. You all right. Yeah. You got plenty of people in your house that check on you or they feel like, oh, you done went to school or you don't live in the same neighborhood anymore or you got a different car or you may have some jewelry on. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? They may feel like you all right.
Don't nobody check on nobody.
He all right. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't living on the street. I'm just all right. Like I don't deal with no stress. It's stress on all levels. It's problems on all levels.
So look, this is the reason why I have a hard time reaching out to people now because I've gotten so like numb to people not checking on me.
Yeah.
To like where. When I was going through the depths of it, back my last year in college and things, that I've just gotten used to, I know nobody's coming. Nobody's coming to help me.
Yeah.
And I just bury myself down. And, like, sometimes you have to tell me. I don't call, I don't check up. And, like, it's just because, like, I just be, like, so, like, down in my, like, this and doing what I got to do zoned out that I really don't. I don't care to. Because, and it still happens to this day where people don't check on me. Like, people don't.
You have gotten better, though.
I have.
You've gotten better. You've gotten better with.
But that's because,
picking
like.
Picking up the phone and stuff.
That's because, like, like you in particular, you know how you be, like, on loyalty and things like that. So, like, you have conversations with me over and over. And then one, I just get it. Like, okay. This is a person that really is checking on me.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that.
Yeah. I'm like, so, I don't want nothing. Just hollering at you. Yeah. Man. Just, this what's up? What's going on?
That's the only reason why I changed. But if you don't have people like that in your power circle to pull you out of that, then you'll stay down there. And look, one last thing is like Breeze with his loner gear.
Right.
You think that's called loner gear for no reason?
Gee, if he had the
loner.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Look, like
he made his mind up. Probably like I got this. I got me.
It's him. It's just him. You see what I'm saying?
This ain't a community thing. This is me.
Yeah, and he understands the concept, and I think it's brilliant because there's a million other people who feel that way. Loner.
Man, I'll be in a room full of people and be feeling by myself.
Loner.
Definitely.
Especially when you're on a corporate job in a Zoom call, whatever you want to say, Teams, in person. You feel lonely.
Definitely.
Because you're the only one there.
Yeah. I feel alone in a lot of rooms out here. That's funny that you say that. So with this dead weight, man, when I think of dead weight and we talk about a power circle, we talk about the dead weight, I think of people that, are negative that may be in your life, unmotivated people that are in your life, lazy people that are in your life, and complacent individuals. You understand what I'm saying? And in order for you to reach that point that you want to reach, you can't have them type of people around you. They're going to slow you down. Slow you down.
So the answer to this is the reason why I didn't say the answer to how you find a mentor is because you find a mentor by first shedding the dead weight. I'm serious. Like, yeah, you shed the dead weight first, you're going to eliminate all those people you just said.
Yeah.
And the ones that's left, no matter the age, no matter if that's your nephew, son, whoever, that's the mentor.
Yeah.
Because that's probably the closest person you can touch to get to talk to you.
Yeah.
Until you be able to talk to more and more people that's like outside of your immediate family or something, that's the closest.
Yeah. So it's like when I think about that, because again, I'm mentally driven. I consider myself an underdog at all times. I champion for the underdogs, right? So, you know, it's very valuable and key to people to, you know, and I tell them, you know, to evaluate who you spending the most time around.
Yeah.
Who are you spending your most time around? One, because time is the most valuable asset that we have in our lives, because we don't know when it's over with.
Yeah.
Right? There's no promise of tomorrow. There's no promise 5 minutes from now. So if I'm spending day in, day out, and I call myself a go-getter, I call myself a dream chaser, I say I want to obtain these goals, but I'm sitting around deadheads all day, yeah, right? They could be relative, non-relative. They could be close to you, everything. I need to be able to feed off of everything around me.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking kids, your spouse, your friends. You know what I mean? I need to be able to feed off of you. Especially because if not, then so if I'm telling you my dreams and you always like a dream killer, you always negative because you done gave up on yours and you ain't chasing nothing. And I'm sitting over here with these bright ideas and this notepad full of ideas. And I'm like, hey, man, hey, bro, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. And you like, man, that ain't gonna work. Man, that ain't gonna work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to be talking to you. I'm dreaming over here and you killing my dreams because you don't got no dreams. You know what I'm saying? And I may turn it on you. Ask somebody.
Yeah.
Well, when they shoot down your idea, ask them, well, what's your bright idea? What you working on?
They don't have one.
And they don't have one. Cut that person clean off. Not saying that you can't love them no more, but I'm not going to keep spending as much time as I was spending around you.
Man, I got to listen.
You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead.
Listen, I tell this one person, stop talking to them. He know who he is, and he listens to this, but he still do it. I know he still do it, but, like, he won't listen. He won't listen to me at this point. But, like, people going to have to understand, I don't care if they family, I don't care if they, whatever they are, because I won't say that. Oh, should I say that? Some family members could turn themselves into relatives.
Yeah.
So,
No. Say that one time. Take off. Huh? Come on. No, I will.
I will too. I don't even care.
He said some family members can turn themselves into relatives. No truer words have been spoken.
I have to say that because I want people to know you want to get to your level of success and how you want to. I just want people to live in a greater mind state of mind and be able to enjoy like life, like do things that we never done before, right? Do things that people, like my mama told me, she's like, I ain't never been to Vegas. How many times have you been to Vegas? Like, so now, like,
few times.
We just got to change stuff. And what I'm saying is that a lot of times some of your family members, they be the ones who holding you back.
Yeah.
Because they ain't helping you do something, or they in need and you got to help them do this, and they not trying to help themselves, and they constantly put you in the hole and like things like that. And it's like sometimes family members can turn into relatives because now we probably ain't talking as much. We probably ain't that's just my relative. Like we can't get on a good vibe with each other. We like every time like family reunion or something, they fighting, like it's just a relative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they hinder you. And I think that shit, dead weight. That's dead weight too.
Dead weight is dead weight.
Dead weight is dead weight.
It could be relatives, it could be coworkers. I say anything. It could be, I'm telling you, it could be your mom, it could be your daddy.
Anybody.
I'm sure somebody out there probably don't even have to cut their son and their daughter off.
Yeah, you understand they ain't helping you.
I'm serious. I'm serious, man. It's that deep, especially when you're trying to go somewhere. Now, if you don't care and you're just out here settling, but this conversation ain't even for you anyway.
But that's the thing. That's why I wanted to hit on this, because you can't keep neglecting the people. Like, ain't nobody in a safe zone.
No.
Like, you see what I'm saying? Either they're helping you or they're not helping you, and you need to shed dead weight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Some people going to listen to this, and I don't want them to be like, oh, yeah, that's my brother, but so I can't, even though he ain't helping me, he really ain't doing nothing, I can't shed. No.
No.
Shed. No. Dead weight.
So that's your brother, and you trying to get somewhere for your life, for your family, for your legacy, whatever else. And just because that's your brother, you supposed to take his negativity, his complacency. You supposed to sit on the phone with
let
him
it poison
day.
You.
You're supposed to hang around him all day. You can't generate no ideas. You can't get no money. You understand what I'm saying? You can't get none of that. And
that's
you
your
just
problem.
Because that's your brother. No. Man, listen here. As close as we is, if I felt like you was a threat to me and you wasn't helping me and that we wouldn't benefit from each other and vice versa.
Yeah.
I already know.
Yes.
If you felt like I was this negative black hole that's just pulling you down and whatever else you can't deal with, man, we're gonna have to agree to disagree. It's gonna
you
be
have to have a conversation. You're gonna have to address it.
Listen, it's gonna be I used to hang with G White.
Book right there that says addressing the elephant in the room. At some point, you're gonna have to address the elephant in the room or shed the dead weight. And this is I'm trying to tell people that you don't know it, but your first communication and access to mentor is your family.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you that. So that's why most people be like, the head of the house is like the head, because that person is the leader. If you in your house is the head of your house, if you was lazy, not doing things right, how the rest of your house gonna follow? Exactly what you doing.
They're gonna do exactly what I'm
doing. They're gonna do exactly what you doing. That's what I mean. But and you're the mentor for them. So your family, because that's the closest person you are, either inside or outside of your house. That's who you're in contact with. So if you're in a rut, look at your family.
We've done that before. I mean, and I've done that. So at the head of the household, right? So let's say I have a bad attitude and I'm in a bad mood. So then if I'm in a bad mood to my wife, then she may get into a bad mood with the kids.
Yeah.
Kids gonna get in a bad mood with the dog.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? And it really started from me. Maybe I brought a problem from outside, maybe a problem from work you brought to the house, or you dealing with something in the streets with your friends or somebody, whatever. Now you done came and brought that bad vibe in the house as the head. You know what I mean? So protect that. That's what I be saying with like, but bigger than anything, shed the dead weight, get them dead heads away from you. Again, every time I've grown, every level I've elevated myself to, and I still got a lot of love for people, but like we always say, like, I'm big on loyalty. I'm huge on loyalty. And I'll probably always be. That's just my makeup. But there's other people out there, too, like that. And it does put you in situations because sometimes you could be so caught up in the loyalty of it and being so loyal.
Yeah.
You don't know when to cut somebody off.
Yeah.
You see all this stuff. You like, man, this dude, like, man, you can place. You don't want to do nothing with your life. Well, man, every time I come over here, we talk about the same stuff. And you ain't acted on none of it. But because you so loyal and you so, you know what I mean? I want to keep it real. You like, man, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? And that can still be your friend. I'm saying that you can still care about that person and everything, but you just got to monitor how much time I spend around you, how much time I talk to you. You know what I mean?
And you can try to mentor them, but if they not, you know, if they not
receptive
to that, then shed dead weight.
Because look, I've also seen people in some situations where they were dead weight at one point, right?
Yeah.
But those tough conversations addressing that elephant in the room, I've seen in a few instances where people have turned that around and they don't
dead weight
anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If
they like, dang, I didn't know I was being negative like that. Dang, I didn't know I was acting like that, or dang, I didn't really pay attention to that. You're right, I have been talking about doing that for 6 months and ain't acted on it.
Look, man.
Or dang, I do keep finding myself in this same situation and blaming it on others. You know what I'm saying? I've seen a couple of people, not many, but I got, you know, a lot of life to live. So I've seen a couple of people turning around. So you can.
Yes, indeed.
It's not saying that just because you're, you know, dead weight right now, or, you know, that out of your crew, you may be the, I don't know, I wouldn't even say the weakest link, but kind of. You can, but ultimately everything that we ever talk about, I think it's up to people to change. You can change whatever that may be. You can change, but you got to want it. And these conversations are the people that want it, the people that want more, the people that want to change, the people that want to do better.
Yeah, we passed that part. The people who listening to this at this point, they want to be here.
Yeah, you aren't scared of the tough conversations. Yeah. You got the, you know, the thick skin. You understand the difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism and just flat out criticism. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't think I've ever tore somebody down without building them back up.
Yeah, constructive criticism usually in the form of that the foundation you're going to rip down what needs to be ripped down, but you don't just stop there. Like, you don't end a conversation be like, man, you ain't do that right. Like, man, you ain't do that right, but look, this is how I've done it in the past.
Right.
This is what you can do.
Now we build it back up. You just don't, you know, stay away from, and I'm not like that though, right? So if somebody, like a mentor or somebody, tears me up, right? Kind of like,
yeah,
man, you know why you didn't get that? Because you this. And then they just walk away. That leave you feeling like that small.
Yeah, you feel.
You're like, dang. But then they like, but so here's the next time. This is what you need to do next time that come around. Try this, try that, try this, try that. Keep your mouth closed when they talking about this, and come in there like that and hit them with that. Now we got a game plan. Okay, yeah, okay. We talked about, you know, it was kind of rough conversation. Probably it was like, you know, I had to look in the mirror, but now you just gave me some tools. You understand what I'm saying? So know the difference. Know the difference. And I tell anybody, don't let nobody just tear you down and walk away.
Yeah.
Them people don't need to be around anyway. So if you just, they're going to tear you down and keep criticizing you and walk away, don't be around people like that.
Yep.
That's not mentorship. You know what I'm saying? That's that ain't mentorship at all. So, you know, I feel like, you know, that this is a power circle. I want people to kind of keep tying those dots together. This is some of the and I go back to what I said, these are some of the key things that I think of when I think about a power circle, mentorship, mentee, being a mentee, the value of a mentee, who's your mentee, who are you coaching, who are you bringing next, are you hoarding information, are you hoarding knowledge, by hoarding, if people that don't, basically, are you
black circle,
yeah, are you not sharing that knowledge, are you just keeping it to yourself, thinking that, you know, that there's a shortage on success. Are you thinking that there's a shortage of money? Guess what? It's not a shortage on either one of them. Long as you see trees out here, you know, you can, you know, they can chop that up and print more money. They
more getting more paper.
So don't ever think that. And then as far as the dead weight, look at the people you spend the most time around. You associate yourself with. Be honest about yourself. Be honest about what you're trying to go. And it's going to be tough. And somebody might ask you, hey, man, why you don't call me no more? Hey, man, why ain't invited over there no more? Listen. Like, why ain't get invited to that trip? Why didn't?
What's understood don't need to be explained.
So, look, we go out of let's say we go out of town. And, you know, I say I want to go on this trip. You say, hey, man, let's go to Mexico or something. And I want to keep going to Mexico. I want to go to Mexico. I say, I want to go. So I get there. Cool. Get to Mexico. I'm flat broke. And you find out I'm in Mexico. I don't tell you that before we leave the crib. I tell you when we're in Mexico. Then the next time we go somewhere, you invite me to Jamaica. Same thing. I show up to Jamaica, flat broke. And you got to fit. You got to dig in your wallet for me. And when it's time to go to Miami, you might not invite me. You might not invite me. And whose fault is that? Mine or yours? So you ain't real because you stop inviting me? Or do I need to look at how the situation I keep putting you in?
I like that. You take ownership. I like how you take ownership for that. You put him in a situation because you invited him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, I'm putting you in a situation every time I come out the house as an adult. With no money in my pocket. And I know that before I leave. But I'll be like, you my man, you got it. Speaking on your pockets. Then we get out of town. And now you got it. You done budgeted for yourself. Everybody got a budget. Now you budgeted for me too. Now you got to feed me, clothe me, whatever else. Now the trip, now I'm more of a burden. Now it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's those type of things that you could think about. And that was just one weird type of scenario that because sometimes people grow and they grow apart or they grow in different directions and people don't understand why those phone calls stop coming as often or why I'm not as invited at times, you know, because I look at it like a job. I look at it like when I used to play sports, like when I played in college. Every semester in college, somebody was coming to get your spot. So how am I currently adding value? You get what I'm saying? I think I was valuable when we was 10 years old, valuable when we was 15 years old, 18 years old, 25. I'm still valuable as a friend and as a person. And I like to be that way around everybody around me. To be like, man, Greg is cool, man. I know him, man. He's still a value. Not like, I don't know what he got going. Like, I don't ever want to be a deadhead. I'm always working on myself and trying to gain knowledge, and I just tell people that. So identify the deadheads in your circle. If they're willing to change, if they're willing to grow, if they're willing to, you know what I mean, take those tough conversations so that you don't have to distance yourself from them, then you'll be fine. But ultimately, you got to look out for number one, and you're going to get one shot at this life thing. You ain't going to relive life. So be careful of the people you're spending the most time around, and I'd be able to identify them and know when to cut it off.
Sounds like self-explanatory to me, but I'm telling you, people going to have a hard time with that shed dead weight because they don't realize that it's the people you're looking at and talking. Just make a note of the people you're talking to the most.
Yeah.
And what have you, okay, because we leading into this. That's the action item, actually, I was about to say. So let's just go with this. The key takeaway from this, a strong inner circle can guide you from your lowest point to heights you never imagined.
Yeah.
Okay. So strong inner circle can guide you from your lowest point to heights you never imagined. And this is what we mean by if you get in a circle of people that's helping you, they helping you, everything is just vice versa. No matter when you at your lowest, you will see a height that you never seen before because you just got people helping you in the inner circle. That's why Money Man, Black Circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, these are things. Like,
no, it is. It really is.
The circle.
Definitely. I mean, definitely. That key takeaway is powerful, bro.
This is what I want to get to, because I almost let this out the bag.
The action item go.
Yeah. Action item for y'all. Yeah. All right. Evaluate the people you spend the most time around and ask yourself if you're building and becoming better or you're just wasting time that you'll never get back. So go think back and understand who you talk to. Go yes. through your text messages, your call log, whatever, your Facebook messages, whatever, and see who you spend your time talking to. Write down what each person has done to make you better or what y'all been building on. What advice, what insight. If you ain't getting none of that, dead weight.
Yeah. Definitely.
find some new people.
Definitely. Immediately.
Immediately.
You got to. That's a heck of an action item, but you got to be honest with it.
And don't be like, no, well, this isn't. Nope. Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and see, like, people, like, say, like, I give you that, like, my mama, she don't understand, like, the technical things that I know and, like, the business moves that I know, but my mama will do this. She is, like, she's very understanding and knowing how to conduct business and, like, getting things that she needs done.
Yeah.
Out of people.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She know how to get things done, get things out of people.
Yeah.
So I get that from her a lot. So like it's gotta be something that you get from people that's helping you. When I'm in the corporate world, I use that because I know like when somebody trying to attack me with something or say, I know how to flip it and like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Because she does that. Like, so you gotta understand. If you struggling with something, like, what is this person giving me? What am I building on? Am I just wasting time? You got to be honest.
Yeah, because you ain't going to get that time back. No. Identify it quickly and cut it off.
Cut it.
So, man, I think that, you know, that sums up pretty much the power circle and the things that, you know, we want to touch on for today and kind of dive into
yeah.
in a dialogue. Again, these are things that you can apply to your life. apply to your situation. Be honest about the situation. Be honest about yourself. Be honest about, you know, who you can choose to be a mentor.
Yep.
Who you could choose to be a mentee. Who you've been a mentee to. The value you found in that. The dead weight you may have in your circle. And I think that, you know, you'll find yourself making a difference in your life. And I think that it'll put you on a track that you didn't even imagine yourself being on by just attacking right there in that power circle and by definition what that looks like. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that was pretty good for the people, bro. What you think?
Solid. Like Todd Dolla Sign, solid. Yeah.
Man. Hey. Listen, take that key takeaway, y'all. Take them action items and get back to work. But you know what I'm saying? It's All You Redemption podcast. Back at you with another one. We switched it up a little bit. This time we in Texas with it.
Just wait on it.
And make sure you continue to like, share, subscribe. You know what I mean? Talk to somebody about it. Bring a friend on in. Catch us on the live session. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, without further ado, man, it's your boy G White.
Big Speaker.
We out.
We out.